Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It's Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. I'm Gardner Goldsmith, your host, and thank you for joining us. I am the creator of The Liberty Conspiracy, which you can find every Monday through Friday live starting at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. If you want to get involved and watch and chat, hit us up on Rumble or look us up on Rockfin. Of course, both under the title Liberty Conspiracy. You can also listen or watch on my Twitter feed when we go live, and that is at Gard Goldsmith. That's G-A-R-D Goldsmith. And I should mention, if you're looking for any of my fiction, and I've got three novellas out there and novels to come, just head over to Amazon or to Barnes & Noble and look up Gardner, G-A-R-D-N-E-R, Goldsmith, and you'll find what I hope is some good stuff. Thanks for listening, and let's rock on for freedom. That's right, one and all. It's time for us to go educational.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control. No dark sarcasms in the classrooms.
Oh, man, I still haven't seen this whole movie all the way through.
Teacher, leave them kids alone.
Between this and Alice Cooper, school's out, right?
Hey, teacher, leave them kids alone.
All in all, it's just a brick in the wall.
Awesome, awesome. All right, so let's go back and watch that footage. That was, if you saw the very opening of the show, if you're just joining us, you might not have seen it. Before our theme, we had a little special presentation of Education Secretary Cardoza, who was in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and he was either intentionally misquoting Ronald Reagan or ignorantly misquoting Ronald Reagan, and Ronald Reagan's famous line about the nine most dangerous, most frightful words that he has heard. And those are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Nine or eight? Well, let's get back to it, shall we? Yes. Let's get into, you know what, Ronald Reagan and his statement. And then we'll watch the education secretary again.
I think you all know that I've always felt the nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
You know, we're going to set up follow-up calls with every governor we met with to make sure we're available. I think it was President Reagan said, we're from the government. We're here to help.
Remember last time we went through this, we talked about how Elizabeth Warren got it wrong. It's nine, but Elizabeth Warren said it was eight. And I'm counting them like, no, it's eight. And even if you took I'm and turned it into I am, that would make it one more. So anyway, but leave it to them. Perhaps they went to public school. So Cardoza doing his magic thing, right? Well, I've got a little personal history that I want to relate to you about this, okay? And yes, I did go to public school, and thankfully I didn't end up looking like that or getting ground up in the meat grinder. I fought back, and that's perhaps part of the reason why I'm so anti-authoritarian now, because I could see the ripoff that was taxation, forcing people to pay into this system back when I was a little kid. Maybe it was because of my parents, and that's where I want to go. You might be aware, of course, that the Education Department is one of the most recently started departments. You got the Homeland Security and all that stuff. But the Department of Education was started in essentially the last year of the Carter administration. When Reagan took office, he tried to get rid of the Department of Education. It's not constitutional. It is a central command and control authority that, of course, has seen more and more money year after year with worse and worse results, with more and more political battles, unions working to play favorites on a national level. And even as we know, that man, Cardoza, and let's put him back on the screen, shall we? That man, Cardoza, right there, working with the people at the Department of Justice and the FBI and secretly sending letters to the members of the National School Boards Association, that's NSBA, and I've written numerous articles on this for MRC-TV, the Department of Education working with the National School Boards Hardcore Left-Wing Association to have the NSBA, this is inspired by people in Cardona's office. Cardona saying, did I call him Cardoza before? Cardona saying, hey, why don't you send us letters claiming that you are afraid of terroristic activities from parents who might be visiting school board meetings. And then we will get the Department of Justice to investigate these people. In other words, total strong arm tactics, threats, all sorts of aggression, and the use of our tax money to engage in that sort of intimidation of parents. And just the word of that getting out is going to intimidate parents, right? So we got the word out. Other people got the word out. And sure enough, this guy Cardona was involved. Or was it one of his assistants? And he has cover. No, I think he was involved. Well, Ronald Reagan tried to stop that organization. And I have personal knowledge about how some of that went down because my father ended up being one of the few people on a very small team brought into Washington in the early 80s to try to eliminate the Department of Education. Of course, they failed. He was there with Charlotte Isserby and a number of others. They met Sam Blumenfeld, who ended up influencing Charlotte greatly and John Taylor Gatto greatly. And they worked very, very hard to try to eliminate the Department of Education. But while my father was there, people were breaking into my father, Carter holdovers at the Department of Education who didn't want it eliminated. They were breaking into my father's filing cabinets and waylaying files that had a particular code written on them that was supposed to be for Reagan's eyes only. For your eyes only. Yeah. They were having meetings at restaurants outside of their offices because they thought their offices were bugged. That was my father, Paul H. Goldsmith. He was there in the middle of this spy-like battle. And, of course, we know what was victorious. We know that the government was victorious because the government engages in all sorts of tactics, whether it be cajoling, whether it be their corrupt tactics of getting people addicted to the money on the state level and attaching them to it, whether it be through intimidation, through telling various states that they must conform to Title IX or they won't get highway money, it has grown and grown and grown. And, of course, the ideology is all collectivist, and then they added their cultural Marxism years ago. Certain books, I remember, what was it, over a decade ago, they wanted to eliminate Mark Twain stuff. Because, of course, Mark Twain uses the N-word, even though his books are about friendship between people of different races. Amazing. So now we've got Cardona misquoting Reagan. And the one of the amazing things about this that really gets me is that they won't acknowledge the different tactics and strategies that government actually does use. When government says, I'm here to help, government is here to strong arm, here to get people addicted, here to cajole, to entice, to mischaracterize, to punch around, and to eliminate any vestige of their constitution. And just to let you know, here's a little bit of information on what's happened since my father was there. And my father and Charlotte both left, and they both said, we're not going to be able to stop this. We're just taking people's money, and we're not going to do it anymore. Both of them did that. Of course, Charlotte went up to Maine and lived the rest of her life up in Maine, fighting to the end. Charlotte is a bit. My dad really helped me in learning all about the ins and outs of politics, giving me books and things, and he would go touring all around, talking about economics and high schools and things like that. And as he got older, I would help him. I would load stuff in the car, drive with him, and it was great. We had wonderful times together. Let me give you an idea of what's happened since 1980, the official start date of the Department of Education. Here is their official Excel spreadsheet. And this will show you what it was like in 1980. To total Department of Education expenditures for 1980, they have the appropriation and they have the president's budget. So the appropriation, the president's budget was from 1979. The appropriation for 1980, this is in thousands. So that's $14,011,052,000. Now, and you have to toggle this all the way to the right. Let's go to the latest data that the government provides in their statistical outlay from 2020. Department of Education. $75 billion. That was the president's budget. And the overall appropriation was even higher. $94 billion. Almost $100 billion. Again, as a quick reminder, let's go back to the start. Oh, those heady days. $14 billion, $11 million for the appropriation, and nearly $100 billion in 2020. That was under Trump. That was under Trump. So, that will bring us towards the end of the show when you get to see a choice segment from David Knight's fantastic interview with David Stockman about his new book coming out in January about Donald Trump and how destructive he was to the economy. In fact, I think I have a photograph of the cover of the book right here. Trump's War on Capitalism by David Stockman. And it is excellent. And as we can see, Trump did not do anything to reduce the size of government. And, of course, Ronald Reagan tried to get reductions in expenditures during his first agreement, but it didn't work. The government kept growing. And part of it was because he was so reliant on the Congress to pass what he wanted for national defense, because he was such a hardliner and anti-communist. He thought, well, we got to keep spending on the military. It's patriotic, don't you know? No, not necessarily patriotic. So that's a big deal. Now, I want to turn to a little something that I think you might find important. I want to just mention something about the nature of government. And I think the education department is a perfect example of it. My father learned it. I think you've learned it as well. Robert Higgs has mentioned it. We talk about the ratcheting effect, right? Where to paraphrase Hillary Clinton, to paraphrase Rahm Emanuel, they never squander a good crisis, or they never seem to tire to manufacture their own crisis in government, whatever level of government. Normally, we see this manifest most often in the largest sense on the national level, but they're trying to do it internationally now with the UN and WHO. We'll talk about that. The EU, that sort of thing. So they'll claim a pandemic when there isn't a pandemic. It's a crisis, got to take care of it internationally. And now we're going to set up the WHO spying and speech silencing and jab mandates and passports and all that stuff with their pandemic treaty and their pandemic rules changes that they want to have. But over the years, we see these sorts of things. And as Robert Higgs says, they come up with emergencies and then they come up with the answers. The government apparatchiks, the government bureaus, the small Soviets on the state levels, the large Soviets on the federal level, and they just are, they're self-perpetuating. They never stop. Because if you are to stop them, and there's some debate right now as to whether or not some of the Republicans might try to speak up about Obamacare and try to reduce it in scope, well, then how dare you? Because people's lives depend on that. Because people get normalcy bias. Just like in England, 1947, they start the National Health Service. People are aghast if you should ever possibly mention that that is immoral and inefficient. How dare you? People could lose their health care. In the meantime, they're literally withholding life-preserving, life-sustaining hydration and food in the national health system in the Liverpool Protocol. And these people have it in their heads that there can be no other way to do it, that if you at all oppose forcing people to pay into this inefficient and immoral system, you're the bad guy, right? So the Education Department now, if you oppose the National Level Education Department, if you oppose Obamacare, you clearly want people to die. And it couldn't be done any other way. It was never done any other way in American history, except if you read books like The Tragedy of American Compassion and, you know, from Mutual Aid to Welfare State by David Beato, Tragedy of American Compassion by Marvin Olasky. So check out those books. There's lots of good stuff at Mises Institute about this sort of stuff. Tom D. Lorenzo's written about it. Thomas Woods has written about it. Great articles. FEE has a lot of good ones. So, you know, the historical precedents are there. But the people just think that the government's got to do it. And then if you oppose it, you're evil, you're mean, you're callous, you're cruel, you're cold. They are part of that system of addicts now. They're philosophically addicted to the idea they might not even be recipients of the money themselves. But if they are recipients of the money, then you're even worse in their eyes in many cases, because you could have been harming their own family. And they don't see the opportunities that are lost. It's the Frederick Bastiat, what is seen and what is not seen. They only see the government program, the broken window being fixed by the government, not the opportunities lost, not the system that worked in the past, that provided health care for lower and lower price without government bureaucracy and force and taxation, without government like the NHS deciding who wins and who loses. So education is a perfect example of it. But I want to tell you a quick story, because a friend of mine, I won't go into details. He might come on the show as Mr. X. He was in Washington on January 6th. He texted me earlier today, and I thought I would relate this to you in this section of the program. As we start off with Cardona and the misquoting of Reagan and going back into the history of the Education Department and this ratcheting effect, the politicians, the advocates for the state, typically are also those people who want to control it or use it for, you know, gamesmanship or that sort of thing, and they want to expand it, right? So, historically, they have shown a keen affinity for basically defying their own so-called rules to answer either crises that they have produced or that they describe are there that aren't really there. Like Hillary Clinton once said on the Today Show, there's a silent crisis for child daycare, because they wanted to have federally funded daycare, not just federally funded kindergarten. They wanted to get the kids, like, right out of the crib. It was a silent crisis. In other words, it wasn't a crisis. Nobody was actually speaking up about it. So it was a silent crisis. We're just too stupid to figure it out. But they will create their own crises. So I just jotted something down here. I said they have, yeah, they have this keen affinity. They'll be acting in defiance of their own so-called rules. And then they establish precedents. And then they either know or they learn that those rarely get pulled back, and the people who did those things rarely get punished, which brings me to the January 6th situation. I just saw on television a report from our network affiliate here talking about all the hours of January 6th footage that are going to be released. They've already started to release them. This is days later. We already know about the 44,000 hours, and they're going to release them in tranches. We know about that. This was like some new revelation to them. And speaking with my friend, he was there. Luckily, he thinks he wasn't seen on camera. They haven't come after him. He didn't go to the Capitol building. So he looks like he's safe. But what amazes me is we were talking about this. The way that these people like Nancy Pelosi and like people like AOC and Chuck Schumer and who knows, so many others out there, the way that they have misused their power to put these people in prison. I think a lot of people are expecting that there's going to be at least something that can be done for some of these guys, but even within that hope, I get a sense that a lot of people are saying, you know, I don't expect much. And that's because those of us who watch the habits of government, who watch the MO of the state, we know that they expand the state and these ne'er-do-wells and criminals who do these actions, who engage in these things like the January 6th commission, throwing these accusations at people, getting the FBI to go after parents and things like that, they rarely, if ever, see any sort of legal ramifications or financial ramifications for what they've done. And the systems they start, they set the precedent. And if they have to stop for a little while, well, they'll pick it back up again. They'll do it again. So we look at January 6th. People like Pelosi, they engaged in that stuff. Clearly, they knew what they were doing was inappropriate. But they knew that they were going to be able to use it for rhetorical purposes. And if they could stay in power, they could get these people in prison, and the majority of them would stay in prison. They will stay there. They won't get new trials, the vast majority of these people. There's politics inside Congress. There are politics inside the states that make this systemically perpetuated. Once they establish the precedent, they can continue with the precedent. There's more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live coming.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
U.S. USA News update. The federal appeals court on Friday allowed lawsuits against Donald Trump over the U.S. Capitol riot to proceed. The court dismissed Trump's claims of presidential immunity. Senator John Fetterman, a Democrat from Pennsylvania, on ABC's The View, asserted that Democratic New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez should be expelled from the U.S. Senate. Fetterman drew parallels to the recent expulsion of Representative George Santos from the House.
Santos is kind of lies were almost, you know, funny. And, like, you know, he, you know, landed on the moon and that kind of stuff. Whereas I think Menendez, I think, is really a senator for Egypt, you know, not New Jersey.
Fetterman says Menendez, who's facing federal charges related to a bribery scheme, should face similar consequences as Santos. Sandra Day O'Connor, the first woman to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court, has died in Phoenix at the age of 93. John Schaefer, USA News.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. In addition to being one of the world's first cryptocurrencies, Dash was the first crypto project to have a decentralized autonomous organization that to this day continues to improve and promote Dash. Every month, 10% of the mining rewards go into a treasury. Anyone with one Dash to spend can put forward a proposal to the Dash masternodes. The masternodes vet the proposals and decide which ones move forward and are funded by the Treasury. Nowadays, DAOs are plentiful, but Dash paved the way by doing it first nearly a decade ago. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to use and get Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That's Dash.org. We look at FISA. They have the church committee hearings. Why do they have the church committee hearings? Just before Jimmy Carter starts the education department, they had the church committee hearings because the Black Panthers and MLK and other peace advocates and so-called radicals were being spied upon by the FBI without warrants. So in order to address that wrongdoing, which they went and did, they didn't have any qualms about it. They just did it. because those offices had already been established unconstitutionally. The FBI, the CIA, Operation Mockingbird, with CIA employees, half of the CBS employee cadre in Hollywood, at the CBS building where they shot Twilight Zone, right? Half of those people who were working there were in the employ in some way by the CIA in Operation Mockingbird, right? That's where the Mockingjay comes from for the Hunger Games. It's a reference to Operation Mockingbird. So it's amazing. So they already had those precedents established. They came out of so-called wartime. They did declare war, but we know that FDR set things up so that the Japanese would attack. We know that he had internal communications with Churchill that show that he was a deceitful weasel. We know that he broke the Constitution over and over again with his alphabet soup of agencies. We know that he wanted to pack the Supreme Court, which is the linchpin. If you can get the Supreme Court, you're all set, right? Or if you can get various state court levels, circuit court levels, see those people fostered, see the roots grown, like Soros has with various so-called prosecutors, then see them appointed to higher and higher offices. You've got yourself an appeals court system that not only might start to change things, but from which future presidents can then draw that crop of hardcore statists. So right now, the exception is this conservative so-called Supreme Court, which isn't really looking at the nuts and bolts of the Constitution, right? Like they're Bruin level. They have the two tiers for Bruin, the text of the Second Amendment, and then whether or not there are historical analogs to some of the gun attacks today. Well, if there are historical analogs from 1810 that are breaches of the strict wording in the Second Amendment, why are you referring to those historical analogs as valid? Because they're not. Because they breached the text of the Second Amendment. It's very clear. So you don't go to, well, was there a historical analog in 1805 that was a breach of the Second Amendment? Because then it would be acceptable. When you already said you've got to look at the wording in the Second Amendment, I mean, it's totally counterintuitive and stupid, right? So we see the Church Committee come around as a supposed answer. It's an answer to the spying on people like MLK. And what do? As an answer, the Church Committee says, oh, man, there were major, major problems. Do they change anything? No, they don't. They literally write a new statute that basically gives the federal government carte blanche to breach the Fourth Amendment. But they say, oh, well, you can breach the Fourth Amendment against foreigners because they're not Americans. And then if the foreigners are talking to Americans, then Section 702, you can spy on the Americans. And if those Americans are talking to other Americans, you can spy on them, too. And they just expand it. It's like the Department of Education, right? So this stuff never dies. And the January 6th thing, I just want to mention to you, I'm really glad that friend of mine, we've spoken on the phone numerous times and so on and so forth. I'm really glad he didn't go to the Capitol anywhere near it. He's safe. And I don't know if you know people or if you were there or what your thoughts are, but I wouldn't expect much from the videos. But it is a lesson. Again, it's another lesson. If we look at what Cardona said today and Reagan, it opens up thoughts about the Department of Education, which opens up thoughts about the MO of government, getting people addicted, the thuggery of it. And thuggies comes from a term in India. They were like highway robbers in India. The thuggery of it, the addiction of it, the drug dealing money scam of it. And in addition to that, what I think is an analog to fascism, which is federal government to state payoffs. It's still corporate. It's not necessarily what we would see as classic business corporations. But to me, we're seeing the states becoming part of a large so-called federalist fascist system where they're so addicted to the centrally created money that funds the central government, which then hands it out. And the states are so indebted to because they have started their own handouts and social welfare programs to such an extent that they're dependent on the money that they expect to come from the feds. So the education department, it's not going away. Charlotte, my father, they worked super hard. They tried to stop it. It's not going away. Some of the people behind the church committee, maybe they were honest dealers. The spying's not going away. The FBI's not going away, right? Cardona's not going away, despite the fact that the education department was exposed for working with the National School Boards Association to try to portray concerned parents going to woke school board administration meetings to try to portray them as potential domestic terrorists. I think the only thing that I'll be satisfied with getting rid of is potential ignorance on the part of anybody who might be interested and wants to fill in some of the stuff that I could provide in any information, and supplying my own ignorance with new information that I might get from other people. I get great satisfaction out of that. I don't think I'm going to be changing anything. All I can do is try to get out the information and speak for truth and maybe prepare for my own way to get away from this stuff and find kindred spirits. So a little something to think about there. Just wanted to make sure that I brought that up. You know, oh, one other thing. We look at the church committee hearings. I also wrote down, not only did the church committee hearings lead to FISA, but of course we saw the growth of the CIA and the NSA and their spying. And then we look at one other thing. Don't forget the Snowden revelations. The Snowden revelations saw Edward Snowden and Glenn Greenwald releasing information about how the NSA and the CIA were collecting all sorts of communications, right? They were getting, under George W. Bush, don't forget, even before Snowden, they revealed that the W. Bush administration was getting Verizon phone call information. So what do they do? With the Verizon thing, they say, oh, that's very bad. Just like the FISA law that they wrote in 1978, they wrote a new statute allowing the federal government to pay Verizon for all the phone data. So they're circumventing the Fourth Amendment. And we see the NSA continuing to spy on people regardless of what Ed Snowden did. And I don't think Ed Snowden was a cutout. I don't think that that's the case. I think that Ed Snowden was mistaken in some areas of his information, but I think he did a pretty good job and he was very courageous. Maybe it's a long game show that they're putting on, and maybe Ed Snowden living out in Russia and sacrificing all those things in his life wasn't a real sacrifice. Maybe he's, but I do think that he had good intentions and he exposed some real bad stuff. And I also think that people like James Clapper should be in prison, and others who were involved in a lot of that spying should be in prison. So now let's go to a follow-up to yesterday, everybody. You know, yesterday I read to you my battle, a little bit about my battle with NewsGuard and one particular character who's on the board of NewsGuard. Well, the MRC TV team, they're, of course, part of the battle. I'm just part of their team when I, you know, I'm on contract with them. They have had to answer all sorts of emails and stuff. They've been pushed around by NewsGuard. They've been threatened with, you know, being essentially demonetized, pulled off of NewsGuard's green checkmark list. And so even though, of course, you know, we back up what we say with actual records and hyperlinks, they're always messing with us. Well, they put together the video about that unctuous character, Michael Hayden. And I'd like to show you right now what's been going on this afternoon. Is I got a lot of messages from people about me taking on, and I'm really probably not going to be face-to-face with Michael Hayden any day of the week. I don't think he's going to respond. But people have been responding to this, and I really appreciate this. This is personal. This is familial with my father's work in Washington and how they were breaking into his filing cabinets. This is about friends. This is about people I respect like you and David Knight. And the folks at MRC TV, people like Matt Taibbi, Michael Schellenberger, and we'll go through a lot of what they're covering as well. And a lot of other people, people at Redacted, Glenn Greenwald, Ed Snowden. Here we go. This is my battle. This is Guard against NewsGuard, or one of the people on its board who has been a government shill since he entered the military.
Hey, are you still able to enjoy Thanksgiving leftovers? Well, beware this far too rich political dish of a guy who just keeps coming back up in one's mental gorge. Hi, everyone. I'm Gardner Goldsmith for MRC TV. And the man, if you want to call him that, is Michael Hayden, a career government parasite who seems to derive twisted pleasure out of twisting reality and sneering at Americans who believe in truth and honesty. And his latest gutter swipe at one of our neighbors came on Twitter/X, where, despite Hayden's leftist goose-stepping allies calling for the site to be silenced, Elon Musk has been expanding speech freedom, perhaps because it helps expose nefarious ne'er-do-wells like Hayden by showing how low they can go. On November 22nd, Hayden, a former CIA and former NSA head and current analyst, as they call them, at CNN, took to Twitter/X to respond to a rather unfortunate photo post, and he made things worse. The original post from a writer/editor named Alex Cole juxtaposed two pictures. One of a woman holding an American flag, Bible, and handgun. The other of Palestinian suicide bomber Reem Rayashi, who killed herself and four Israelis in a 2004 bombing for which Hamas and the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade claimed credit. Evidently, not much classier than Hayden, Cole captioned the post with, "What's the difference?" Many people might have ready responses about self-defense, religion, geopolitics, aggression, secular Zionism versus Jewishness, and U.S. and Israeli backing of Hamas to be the political leadership of the population living in Gaza. Well, those weren't on Hayden's list. Instead, he responded with the thug-minded, no different at all. Perhaps you too are shaking your head. Such petulance and childishness on the part of an adult, well, that could inspire feelings of sadness for Mr. Hayden and his rodent-like attitude. But a closer look at Hayden cautions all to beware of this man. This is, after all, Michael Hayden, the character who recently implied that pro-life Senator Tommy Tuberville, Republican of Alabama, should be removed from the human race. This is Michael Hayden, who insinuated that Donald Trump should be executed over his handling of official Trump administration documents at his personal residence. This is Michael Hayden, who in 2013 jokingly called for the extrajudicial assassination of Edward Snowden. This is Michael Hayden, who saw fit to financially ally himself with the unctuous former Homeland Security czar, Michael Chertoff. He who left the W. Bush administration to suddenly make buko bucks by consulting for OSI, the body scanner corporation that got the federal government contract to install Fourth Amendment breaching body scanners at airports. Indeed, Mr. Hayden has a history of contempt for legality, morality, and civil discourse. As Trevor Tim wrote in 2017 for the Columbia Journalism Review, quote, Hayden has a long history of making misleading and outright false statements, and by the estimation of many lawyers, likely committed countless felonies during the Bush administration. It is something of a wonder that someone responsible for so many reprehensible acts is now considered a totally above the fray, honest commentator on all issues intelligence. And Tim added, quote, it's easy to see why television bookers keep calling his phone. Hayden smiles and tries to tell jokes, like when he joked about putting Edward Snowden on a kill list. So, funny. He uses clever turns of phrase. He called the NSA's massive metadata surveillance program dipping our toe in domestic collection. And that was written in 2017. Hayden's had a lot of years since then to add volumes of insipid and uninspired bravado to his foolish flippancy. In fact, calling it flippancy is just far too kind. Hayden is a purveyor of threats, lies, misleading characterizations, character attacks, and hubristic braggadocio, much of it tied to worldwide wrongdoing. And to cap it off, this current CNN analyst also is a fascist, for he is on the board of NewsGuard, the so-called fact check organization recently exposed for its roundabout receipt of our tax money. Yeah, that's right. This man who just compared a Christian gun owner to a suicide bomber is on the board of one of the most powerful so-called speech screeners in U.S. history. And true to his pattern, not only does NewsGuard engage in mischief like hassling MRC TV, I personally have had to spend hours answering their inane, baseless brickbats. But NewsGuard has received massive infusions of tax cash to do it. The connection of political power and corporate power is economic fascism. So it's rather a rich dish to see a deceptive fascist like Hayden impose misleading moral judgment on a photo of a Christian American woman and insinuate that she's a dangerous terrorist. Well, perhaps Mr. Hayden just wasn't looking right. Perhaps his computer screen was at an odd angle. And he actually was seeing a reflection of himself. Thanks for watching, one and all. Please like and subscribe. Find us on Rumble where they don't censor us. And share these with kindred spirits. We love to have you there. Feel free to comment at Rumble. And yes, we still are on YouTube. You can like and share from there as well. And double check that you're subscribed. Find us all the time at mrctv.org. That's mrctv.org. And while you're there, please consider donating to the Media Research Center and check out the Media Research Center store. You can also find us on Facebook, on TikTok, on Instagram, on Parler, and, of course, on X/Twitter. And if you want to find me on Gab, I'm at Gardner Goldsmith on Gab, and I'm at Gard Goldsmith on Twitter. That's a message to you, Mr. Hayden, if you want to get in touch. Hey, thanks for watching, everybody. For MRC TV, I'm Gardner Goldsmith. So there you go, everybody. I hope that was good. I hope that was rocking. I appreciate the MRC TV team doing such a bang-up job. Really appreciate them going to town like that. And, yeah, so if Michael Hayden wants to engage in a debate or anything like that, I'm right here, Michael. Anytime, buddy. I'm sure we'll have a great time. And I'm sure you'll use totally above-board tactics in your interaction with me in daily life. I'm sure you wouldn't recruit people to start messing with my internet, getting into my bank accounts, or anything like that, right? Sure. Let's check in with Rockfin and Rumble chat, see what's happening with everybody over there. I'm going to go to Rumble first, and I noticed that Birdhouse Blues mentioned that the White House Christmas tree has fallen down. White House Christmas tree is falling down, due to wind, just like the president's excuse. Ah, yes, indeed. Ah, yeah. Hey, thanks, Birdhouse Blues, for the positive vibes about and Geesebusters. I appreciate that very much. Appreciate that. Nice words on that video. I appreciate that. I'll pass it on to the MRC TV team too. They're good people. Yeah, good people. And also, I want to thank everybody who is in there at Rockfin as well. Isn't it cool? Because I know the Rockfin guys. You know, they just decided to give it a shot, and I think they've done a pretty good job. You know, there is a little bit of a trick because
when people donate, you get the donations in crypto, and then you have to translate it. I still haven't been able to translate it yet. I have to talk to David Knight's son to get some advice on that, to try to figure out how to translate it all and get it in there into my bank account and stuff. But it is very, very nice, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate what Rumble does as well. Great stuff. Good people at both. That I haven't met anybody from Rumble, but I know the MRCTV people have had great interaction with Rumble, and I've actually spoken on the phone when I first started with the Rockfin guys, and they were great. They were super nice. You know, I mentioned Tony Arterburn and David and so on, and they were like, oh, yeah, Billy Ray Valentine. Like, oh, yeah, great guys. I'm like, wow, cool, thanks. That's awesome. So we've got the Michael Hayden story, and, you know, it makes me think about how we look at these characters. And we can see the way that the Constitution has been debased systemically, and we can see the characters who've been involved with the debasement of it. We can see, you know, the way that they use cajoling, and they make people dependent on the government. They will sue. They will use strong arm. You know, it's the carrot and the stick approach. All the way, as the federal government continues to explode and expand, right? Now to the point where, we'll show you something in my Substack Sunday News Assembly, to the point where it's just out of control. And I'm, you know, very glad I've been getting gold and silver to hold on to. Don't tell Michael Hayden about that. He might come snooping around, the rodent that he is. I'm sorry. The rodent that he might just possibly be, to say it euphemistically. Sorry, I didn't want to be insulting to you there, Michael. But, you know, this pattern of people using various cutouts to engage in speech policing and things like that, it's not just the United States. I want to turn right now to what's been going on in Ireland with Conor McGregor, okay? And I'm sure there's going to be a, here it is. So we talked about this yesterday, Conor McGregor, Ireland. Many people in Ireland very upset about their government subsidizing the moves of all sorts of migrants. And as I mentioned, I'm an anarchist. I don't like political anything. The government, all polices are immoral. And I don't see how anybody can actually say that there is a political border when the border is established by politicians, and the decisions of the politicians actually can't be seen as actually reflecting the interests of the majority in any way. Nobody knows, right? You can have cultural borders, you can have borders about private property and things like that. But within this system, I think it's very clear that even as an anarchist, I can agree with so many people who say, yeah, let's not have tax money being spent on moving people into hotels in Ireland or Massachusetts, wherever it might be. There's more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live coming up.
It's obvious. The unthinkable continues. Most Americans know something very wrong is happening. People in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing, but you know better. That's why self-reliant folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $200 on each 3-month food kit you purchase. My Patriot Supply also sells solar generators, gravity-powered water filters, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship that same day and arrive quickly on your doorstep in unmarked boxes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Guam immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.